The Spirit Ministry Fellowship. Yep, that's the key for Sarah. She turns the key and camera on. So praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And they can pray everything's well. There's a sickness that is going around. And there's been some people, I guess, they've even died from it. Really some severe stuff. And I don't think it's actually coming from normal. I think there's abnormal things to it, but I won't go down that way today. But I learned a long time ago that when Jesus took his stripes on his back, he took 39 basic stripes. And that's what science said, that there was 39 basic viruses. That's from studying with a stethoscope from the time they had them until that day. There's 39 basic viruses that cause everything through the histories. It's the way they're designed. And I said, well, that time I said, I got to go back and see how many times Jesus took on his back. 39 stripes. He broke every single disease. So if you're talking about kingdom, authority and power and your legal right, when a sickness comes on you, you say it, you have no legal rights and come against it all the time. And then Karen said she's seen one on Sid Roth, and it was a guy that came in, and he said he's seen the Jesus was there, and he had the stripes, and he said the exact same thing. But then he said one other thing, which I had no clue until I heard it from it, and it was that the thorns on his head. He said every time one of those thorns punched his head, he killed the authority over every mental illness. We have legal rights. We don't always understand them. When you understand the kingdom, the authority and power, then you walk in those legal rights. I've had sickness hit me, and I've turned around and I said, Father, I don't understand this. It's coming after me. So I start saying, in the name of Jesus, you have no legal rights. There's one time I fought for an hour and a half and just told it, get out. It has no legal rights. And eventually left me. Now, what I've got now is not just sickness. There's some other things going on there, and I'm working on that one, too. I've been healed of different things. I'll be healed of this one. So praise the Lord. I just thank God for it. I am already healed, and I praise him for it. But I want you to understand that, because there's so much going on in the world today. And as God rises up, the evil rises up just as strong. And you have to know that. So you have to know your legal rights and what's going on and what you need to do and how to pray and what's going on from there. I was watching a program the other night, and the speaker said that he was in Israel and was going to go to Egypt. He was all excited about going there. And they got on a plane, they started to go up. Next thing they said, they're ready to land. He says, it's only been like 20 minutes. He says, that's not very far. He says, this is ridiculous. So he got off the plane, and when he did, he got in a bus tour, and he asked the bus, you know, guide there in the bus tour that was there. He says, how long does it take from Egypt to Israel? He says, if you walk, it's 40 days. If you take a bus, it's 24 hours. But if you fly, it's 20 minutes. So he flew, it was 20 minutes. And he says, it really shook him, so he went back and he started to look. He says, it took the Israelites 40 years, when it should have only took them 40 days. And he looked a little farther, and he come to see, and he said it was because the mindset of Israel was still in them. They never got rid of the mindset. You heard him complain. Well, we need to go back to Israel because at least we had some food and a place to stay and all that type of stuff, because there was a mindset set in them because they were so used to what they had. And then he said, a really kind of profound thing, and he says, the people that came out of Israel all had to die off, and their children went in, because they didn't have a mindset, huh? Egypt, sorry about that. I said the wrong one. Sorry about that. Yes, thank you for the correction. So anyway, I took and he says, the problem was, they got delivered, but they never got set free. And I says, oh, that's what's happening today. We've been in religion for so long, we have got set delivered from religion, but we haven't got set free from religion. We still have mindsets of things that have happened. That was when I was in the hospital. And wow, I started studying and getting in the, really asking God what's going on. He started showing me some stuff. And I come to find out really what Jesus did on the cross. I've always said, he said, it's finished. And I've asked people many times, what was finished? And I've always been in churches that said all is about salvation. That's all we need. Jesus died for salvation. And I says, it was more than that. And then I figured that one out. They never told me. I just figured it out. But it's finished. What was finished? And I worked with that for a long time and figured out what that one was. And I took it and I said, wow. But then when I ran across this one about being redeemed and found out that Jesus literally took us and broke everything from, in other words, from the time before Adam sinned to the cross and removed us from all of it, removed us from all of us. I says, wow, that blew me away. And the reason was because God, and I said this at one time, has a plan for your life. He has a plan for your life. You might say, well, God doesn't even know who I am. God never talks to me. I'm not worth being talked to. I have too many problems. People feel that way. Situation goes on. But I hope you don't feel that way. I don't think anybody here does, but people do feel that way. And what happens was, he has a plan. In Ephesians 1, 3, and 4, 5, I believe it is, it says to do one thing. He said he gives you all spiritual blessings in heavenly places because he knew you before you were born and he wanted to make you whole and perfect in the sight of the Father. Not guilty. But in the Old Testament, you are guilty because you have a sin nature. You can't do anything because you have a sin nature. It came from the sin that Adam did and the curse of the law. Jesus broke that on the curse, on the tree, when he died on the cross. And he moved us into the kingdom. He moved us into an understanding. See, Jesus, or God was trying to bring back the original plan that he had planned for you. Not all the misery and everything that you live in. Not all the misery that we lived in the past. But he's trying to bring us back to his actual plan for us. No sickness, no poverty, and everlasting life. If you look at that, wow, I sure haven't lived that way through my life. But we've God blessed us and kept us going, and he's still keeping us going, and things are happening. So what's happening is he's trying to get us changed around. And I think sometimes we've still got too much understanding from our religion to be fully be set free to move into what God has for us today. And when I heard him say that, I'm thinking, wow, that makes sense. That makes sense. So what you need to do is start asking the Father to purge your mind from all religious things. Purge your heart. Purge your understanding. Start to show you the full truth of what he has done, what Jesus did on the cross. The completeness. How do you become the one man? A complete man. You know, the time I was reading, and it said, you didn't sin. I said, what? I didn't sin. I sinned. You didn't sin. He says, you didn't sin. And it had took me a while to get past my religious thinking, saying, I sinned. No, I did not sin. Because I have the remnant of the seed of Christ in us. And I am a new person, a new creation. We are new. And most people have never gotten into the newness of who you are and why you are and what happens and how it changes your whole life. When you receive that, then it can change. I might be speaking to the choir here because you already know all this stuff. But I'm just going back through that because If you know it, then you need to tell other people about it, because I'm sure not everybody knows about that. Because I didn't. I'm 76 years old now, and I've been in church all my life and never heard a thing about it until about a year ago or this last year. And I'm thinking, wow, this is crazy. I read the Bible, but it just didn't connect with what was going on. So anyway, I'm going to ask you a question, but I want to play a song just before we do. Can we play that one song, Sarah?
look at me, I'm a wonder. It doesn't matter what you see now. Can you see his glory? I know who I am. Take a look at me, I'm a wonder. It doesn't matter what you see now. Can you see his glory?
Now, there's one thing about that. Sorry, I had to take a little break here. This seat doesn't fit very well on this cart, and it gives me problems, so I thought I'd put a pillow underneath me, and I found out all I want to do is slide me off on the floor, and I didn't want to go on the floor. So I just made a little adjustment. My glasses are falling apart. Oh, well. Such is the way. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We'll get this done yet. So I want to ask you, do you know who you are in Christ? Do you really know who you are in Christ? That's an answer. If you can answer that, it's amazing. Who are you really in Christ? That Acts 17:28, Sarah? Want to read that, Deb?
For in him we live. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring.
There you go. In him we have, yeah, we live and move. Everything we have comes from him. And when we're in him and we walk with him, it's amazing what God will do, because that's why it always talks about the kingdom of God is the Spirit of God. The kingdom of God is the Spirit of God. It's the life of everything. Without the Spirit of God, you have no life. Nothing, anywhere. It's all about the Holy Spirit. And he brought that back. Adam lost it. But God wanted us to, Adam to do what he's supposed to do. But when he lost it, he had to make another plan. You call it plan B, because it was not his plan A. And then he got down here and he said, I'm going to make plan A. I'm going to restore back to man everything that Adam lost. Everything that the Satan stole from them. Have you had anything stolen from you by Satan? It's time to get him. Your legal rights, and kick him out. Yes. Remove him. It takes a lot sometimes. We have our mindsets, and I got Steve over here sitting there in my house saying, you need to get up and walk. Get up and walk. You need to go out and get that pickup. They had a pickup I was thinking about buying. He says, you need to get out there in a pickup and drive it. Yeah, I agree with you. But I got a religious mind I'm still dealing with. I got to get rid of this religious mind. I'm constantly renewing my mind. This is what I'm talking about. What I'm teaching you, what I'm teaching now is more or less for me. So I can get through my thick skull what's going on and why I'm missing it. It's one of those situations that we all have areas that we're strong in. And we have areas that we're weak in. But God is strong in everything when we allow him to move and do what he wants to do. So praise the Lord. Yeah, but I ask that question. It's a good thing to ask this year. Do you really know who you are in Christ? Because if you don't, get some advice by the Holy Ghost. It says if you don't know, ask. Who are you going to ask? Ghostbusters? No. I don't think they'll help you. Might make things worse. But the Holy Ghost is inside you. The Spirit of God resides inside you. The one that knows everything about everything and the deep things of God. You just have to learn how to listen to him and trust him. And then trust yourself to do what he tells you to do. And you'll be amazed what will happen. It took him a long time to get me in this place. It took him a long time to get the fear out of me. The ability of wanting to just sit in the back and do nothing. It took me a long time. It took him a long time. He's still working on me. So praise the Lord. I'm glad he had never gave up on me. I wouldn't make it. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But I came across a teaching that said lack of identity. Kind of got me thinking. So I listened to it. It says a single sentence exposed the root of the problem. Prayer is not first a discipline. Prayer is not a desire. It is not even an expression of faith. Prayer is the first identity act. Prayer is the first identity act. It is the rightful function of somebody who knows who they are in Christ. There's a difference between prayer in the Old Testament and prayer in the New Testament. Prayer in the Old Testament does one thing. Because of the principality, you know, the prince of the air, was blocking everything that goes to God. You had to sin. You know, you had to, not sin, you had to pray, seek, you know. Well, 2 Chronicles 7:14. The Lord told me, he says, go read it. So you put up 2 Chronicles 7:14, which I did not have you have that up there. Thank you, sir. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then what's going to happen? And we'll do because of why? Because he forgives your sin. And will heal your land. So this is saying you have to do all these things just to get your sins forgiven before God can hear you. I didn't see that because people quote it, but they never put in there. Just to get your sins forgiven. It blew me away when God told me. He says, go look at it. Read it. I says, oh no. I said, if I have to do all that just to get my sins forgiven, then I'm denying Christ. Yes, we have to do all those things. I'm not saying that. But I don't have to do them just to have God hear from me. Because Christ already took the sin away. When you speak, he hears you if you are a child of God. It's what you believe and what you think, unless... What is it about the sounding thimbles? Anybody got the scripture on that one? Huh? If you do not have love. If you do not have love. You'll be as a sounding cymbal. You'll be like, ding, 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 ding. He said, oh, Lord, help me. Ding, ding, ding. What are they talking about? I wish they were clear and understand so I could hear them. You know, I hear them, but I can't figure out what they're talking about. That's a scripture. See, these are kingdom understanding. You have to walk in love, because the kingdom of God, the New Testament, is all about love. The Old Testament was all about works. So that's what it comes down to. That's why our religious thinking sometimes is about prayer. And I'm not coming against prayer, because prayer is good. I'm not coming about prayer meetings. I'm not saying anything on that, because you can get a lot of things done. Two or more come together and ask anything of the Father, it shall be done. But there is a difference between Old Testament and New Testament on prayer. Because when you use prayer in such a way, by using your authority and your power and demanding and commanding and destroying and removing, you get a lot of things done. That's where it's at. And that's why it says it is a rightful function of somebody who knows who they are in Christ. A rightful function. Rightful function of somebody who knows they are in Christ. And when identity is forgotten or not known, I put that one in, prayer becomes a cry from earth instead of a decree from heaven. Are you crying for heaven to move? Are you going to the heavens and decreeing in the name of Jesus, done? Is your prayer more of a cry than it is of an understanding who you are? That's why it's said, prayer is first an identity act. Identity. Who are you in Christ? What have you been given? What is your legal right? Very important to understand this. It is the rightful function of somebody who knows who they are in Christ. Doesn't mean that you can't pray. Doesn't mean that he won't answer your prayers, because he knows your heart. He understands that. But there's a power that can go along with this. It can change situations even mighty. And when identity is forgotten or not known, prayer becomes a cry from earth instead of a decree from heaven. Whew. You got to get a revelation of that. When you get a revelation of that, you're going to change. You can change. You can start decreeing things from heaven. You might say, how can I do that? Would you put that first, Ephesians 1, 9, 10, 11 up? Okay, having made known unto us the mysteries of his will, according to the good pleasures which he has purposed in himself. In other words, he made this your authority from the beginning of time, before the earth was created. He did this. This is all according to his great pleasure. It's a pleasure when he walks in the authority and power that he gives you. It's a pleasure that you accept when he says, you are my son and daughter. I can, you're a child. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to do things. When you say things, I expect things to happen. You know, we don't want to have just a cry from heaven. We want to have a decree or a cry from earth. We might have a decree from heaven. Okay, right there. God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, the plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. What's the next one? And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and earth. Now, I was reading this one thing late at night. What's the next one say? Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we've asked Jesus Christ into our life, so we are now a son of God. We are united. See, when you go there, you are the same. We are all one in the Spirit. There is no difference. We're all one in Christ. That's all, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you are all one. Have you got that? Do you know who you are in Christ? He made you that way. He's not forming. He's not making you. He made you that way. And that's what he did. because we are all united with Christ, we have received our inheritance from God, for he's chosen us in advance, and he made everything work out according to his plan. His plan was to restore us back to what we lost in the garden. He gave him full dominion and power over everything. It's the same thing today. We have dominion and power over everything except for man. You don't have authority over your brother and sister. Over everything else, though, according to what God's given us. Even rabbits. Even mosquitoes. Think about it. So what's happening is we know, but if you don't understand that, I always thought when we were out at Calabine, or out in Colorado when Calabine happened, and often thought, what would happen if this young lady was standing there and the guy that came up and says, "Are you want to die? Are you a Christian?" And she said, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Put that gun down." What would have happened? She wouldn't have got shot. Nobody else would have been shot. And the glory of God would have brought forth. That's why I've told the stories before. There's one where there was a missionaries were out on the field and had a flat tire, and his father took off and to figure out what's going on, and all of a sudden the wife and the two kids were in the car, and a car pulls up behind, and they get out, and they wanted to come and get inside. They had the doors locked, and he took a knife and busted the window and went to grab the mother, and a six-year-old quiche, young girl, stood up. "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you." And the guy couldn't do anything with the knife. He was going to stab her. And all of a sudden, a car came up behind them, and they scattered. They ran. And they said other people had been, the same thing had happened to them, and they'd been killed. A six-year-old girl stopped the murder of her mother. She knows who she was in Christ. Woo! Another one was a lady was going to her apartment one time. And she said she was a Christian, but she didn't really understand a whole lot. But she just knew that God was protecting her. And some guy comes up and says, "Open the door." She says, "No, I'm not going to open the door." She knew what was going to happen. She says, "Open the door." She says, "No, I'm not going to open the door." And all of a sudden he was going to pull a knife on her. He says, "I don't care. I'm not going to open the door." And finally, he got so frustrated, he just left. Of course, the biggest thing is, Kenneth Copeland had a lady that got picked up by a serial killer. Was in the car with him. He was going to kill her. And it was she got in her car and said, "Drive." So anyways, he said he had to put this tape in. He said, "If you're going to make me drive, I want to put this tape in." And the tape was about love. And every time he said love, "Take that out." He said, "I'm not going to go anywhere if you don't have this tape." They listened to it. God touched his heart. He says, "Go to the police station." He went to the police station, turned himself in because of what God was doing. Oh, we don't have any authority or power. We don't know who we are in Christ. We got to figure this thing out and start to speak with power and might from dominion and authority from heaven. Because right there, what did we inherit? All power and authority from heaven and earth. Whew. We got it. We just got to get it. You got to get going. And you're saying, "Well, you're sitting there in that condition. I'm renewing my mind. I'm getting rid of the religious sucked out of my brain." So God can finish his work. He's already healed me. I'm done. I didn't realize that when you get redeemed by God, you're healed. Everything's done. That, it was kind of interesting because Thurman always said sozo. He looked up salvation. It says sozo. Sozo is saved, healed, delivered, made whole, protected. I was thinking, wow, when you give your life to Christ, you become healed. You're not just saved, you're healed. You're delivered, you're made whole, you're protected. We don't know who we are in Christ. If we knew all that, we wouldn't be walking some ways that we're walking. And I'm talking to myself. I'm not preaching to the choir. I'm talking to myself. And this is what it is. It's the information. The Lord says, I want to do something today. I said, glory to God, so do I. I says, this is what I've got, so I'm going to go with it. This is why so many believers pray with sincerity, yet not confidence. They pray long, but without certainty. They pray often, but without authority. They feel close to God one minute a day and distance the next, all because their identity shift, because their identity shifts with their emotions. Well, God loves me this day, but I messed up. I can't do it that way. I know I heard a preacher one time. They said, well, it depends on my sin. If I sinned really bad, I just feel bad for 10 days, even though I asked for forgiveness. But if it's not too bad, I can do it in maybe an hour and get over it. They're teaching this. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I was trained that way. I learned it's wrong, and I got rid of that part of it. But this is what happens. There's so much training that we get sometimes. But see, because of the identity shift with your emotions. But God never intended prayer to rise and fall with how you feel. He intended is flowing out of who you are. If you don't know who you are, he's not flowing out of it. He's blocked, and you need to figure that out. Wow. And Scripture reveals something extraordinary. Who are you about who you are? Something the early church understood. Sometimes Christ died. You know, something Christ died to give you. Something hell has fought to keep hidden. I said, wow, they sure have fought to keep that hidden. Because if everybody finds out about it, they're done for. It is the understanding of your identity that makes prayer powerful. It is a truth that transforms prayer from pleading into partnership, from hope into authority, from fear into boldness. What is that identity? You are a priest unto God. Not in a symbolic sense, but in poetry. Not in a poetic sense, not in a metaphor. Where did I go from? But it is a spiritual reality written in your new birth. A spiritual reality. See, but we haven't caught up with our reality that God did for our new birth. When you became a child of God, the Spirit's in you, and guess what happens? The Holy Spirit is there. That's you, the Holy Spirit. You're not your fleshly desire anymore. You have no sinful nature. You have righteousness, love, peace, joy, happiness, meekness, mildness, kindness. And I got to apologize and repent on that one, because I was sitting there and I was saying, well, have you developed your righteousness? God, you are the righteousness of Christ, but you got to develop your righteousness. Religious thinking. And I heard a teaching one time, and it said, you are God's righteousness. All you have to do is use it. You don't have to develop it. It's there. You just have to accept it, understand it, and use it. And here I'm telling people, they got to develop it. Boy, was I dumb. So I repent of that one. Amazing. Some of the things we think, but we're so caught up in religious thinking. So it is the understanding of our identity that makes prayer powerful. It is a truth that transforms power from pleading into partnership and hope into authority. See, Christ, but in the spiritual reality written into your new birth is what I was talking about. Revelation 16 declares that Christ has made us a king and a priest unto God and his Father. I've quoted that scripture all kinds of Revelation 6:1 He made us a king and a priest. Made us a king and a priest. The king is the king, authority and power over the kingdom of God. He made us a king. King of kings, Lord of lords. We're the little king under the big king. Lord, little king under the big lord. The big lord. And the priest the same way. But what this is about, and I didn't understand this till I started getting this teaching, and I'm thinking, wow, this is amazing. Made, not will make. Made, not is making. Made, not someday. Your priesthood is not a future reward. It is a present identity. When you realize the importance of the priesthood that you were given, it's amazing. It is a forgotten identity that makes prayer powerful. The priest is not a beggar. The priest is not a stranger. A priest does not timidly approach God hoping for a response. I did that all the time. I didn't understand my priesthood. I didn't understand the gift that he gave me and what I was supposed to do it with. And he says, the priest stands before God by divine appointment. The priest stands before God as a divine appointment. A priest carries authority to speak on behalf of heaven. Whew. Now, if you see what we had in Ephesians, we received an inheritance from Jesus, all authority in heaven and on earth. We are the mouthpiece of heaven on this earth. If you see that, if you understand the priesthood that you've got. Now, the king is the authority aspect, to go out and remove and take care of and do that. But when you speak, see, just today, as I spoke today, because I was sitting here and I was not going to say anything, and all of a sudden the Lord just hit, my spirit hit, started going, and I started speaking in tongues. I didn't know what it was going on. I didn't have anything to say. But I was sitting beside the king. And he says, I got a word for my people. And that's what each one of you should be doing as a priest. Sitting beside the king. Listening to him. And hearing what he's got to say. And when he wants you to put it out, put it out. That's why in the early church they had somebody putting things out. You had to calm it down a little bit. So if we get that, we might have to calm it down. We got new people coming in, they want to put stuff out. Well, that's not always what we need to put out. But we'll deal with that. I don't want to shut them down because I don't want to shut God down in them. I want them to grow and prosper. But think about that. See, I was sitting there. And a priest carries authority to speak on the behalf of heaven. I spoke on the behalf of heaven today. Anybody that gave a word that the Lord spoke to him, spoke on the behalf of the heaven. That's what you're doing as a priest. A priest knows his access not earned but given. The access is not earned but given. So you can go up. You earned it. You didn't earn it. It was given to you freely to go and be in the presence of the Lord. A priest does not pray to get God's attention. He prays because he already has it. He already has your attention. He wants to hear from you. He wants to relate to you. That's what Adam was. Adam and Eve. You know, Adam, he wanted to be in their presence. He wanted to walk and talk to you. He wanted to be able for you somehow to sit with him and talk with him and work with him. And that's what we're missing in religion because we couldn't do it. Because there was a bondage. There was a prince that was blocking what was going on. But if we did what we're supposed to, he would listen to us. He would hear our prayer, and he'd heal our land. So this is what it comes down to. This is completely different. It's removing the religious thinking out and moving into the kingdom understanding. It's awesome what God is doing. Let's see. Now, this is why Hebrews 4:16 say, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of God, the throne of grace." Only a priest can do that. Only a priest can go in before the throne of God. And that's what you've got, and that's what you need. I've said, when Thurman started talking about it, Thurman Scrivener used to come here, he used to say, he went to the third heaven. He said, this one guy, I said, this is the type of power that you've got. He says, there was a man in his office, and he Thurman said something about church or Bible study, and he said, I don't want to hear about it. He says, oh, what's your full name? Told him his full name. He said he went up to heaven for 2 weeks. I think it was 2 weeks. Before the Father. And he said, Father, and he gave him his full name, and he prayed over him. He bound up the gift, he bound up the devil, the principalities, the powers, the wicked spirit of the high places, the God of this age, but take the blinders off his mind, send a convicting harvest, or convicting spirit over his heart, and send harvester to harvest him. 2 weeks later, the guy came in. He says, what church you go to? Never talked to him about it. This guy, you could not talk to him about God. He blows up. But yet he had the authority and power to go to the king and be the voice of heaven over him to set him free. And what happened was, he said there, because there, he got saved, he went to a church and got, he gave his life to Christ, and he says, because he got, there was five other men that gave their life to Christ, saying, if this guy would give his life to Christ, there must be a Christ. So he gave him to Christ. Why? Because a man took the priest part of his being and went to the Father and sat behind him and gave him the authority and power for heaven to come down on that man and change his life. Whew. Who are you in Christ? What do you have? Oh, help me, Father. Oh, this is terrible. Oh, oh, oh. A cry from heaven, or you got a speaking from, or a cry from earth, or you're going to be a speaking from heaven. Authority from heaven. Wow. God is awesome. Only someone with divine standing can approach boldly, but bold. Boldly is not violent or volume. It is confidence. It is the, you want to read the rest of that? I'm messing up.
Only a priest can do that. Only someone with divine standing can approach boldly, not arrogantly, but boldly. Boldness is not volume. It is confidence. It is assurance that the one you are speaking to has already welcomed you.
There you go. But there are many, but here is where the enemy has done this greatest work. He has convinced many because that priesthood belongs only to pastors, leaders, and spiritual elites. He whispers, you're not spiritual enough. You're not holy enough. You haven't prayed enough. You make too many mistakes. That was me. Big scripture said, but scripture says entirely different. 1 Peter 2:9 declares, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, royal, what's that, dear? Conveys. Yeah, I got it. It just conveys authority. Priesthood conveys access. Today, they create the identity that makes powerful prayers powerful. Authority to speak, access to stand, and that is what the new creation carries. It is what you were born into. Whew. Wow. That makes sense? Yeah. Romans 11:33, please. Anybody remember that one? Romans 11:33, we used to say this all the time. No, I mean Hebrews 11:33, sorry. I'll get it right yet. See, I'm not perfect, and God still lets me go up in there and talk to him. Praise God. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised. Then shut the mouth of lions. Next one. Okay, you want to read those, dear?
Quench the flames of fire, escape death by the edge of the sword. Their weaknesses were turned to strength. They become strong in battle, put whole armies to fight. Flight. Women receive their loved ones back again from death, but others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They place their hope in a better life after the resurrection.
Yeah.
Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons.
Okay, that's good. It was all comes back because some didn't really worry about the authority and power that they have. They just wanted not to lose heaven. They wanted to please God and more or less be a martyr. And one time I was reading that, and the Lord says, I want you to make Route 33 Christians. I says, whoo! Said, by faith, going to do a great, magnificent thing. And this is part of it, by being that priest. I didn't quite understand this about the priesthood, because I haven't been taught much about priesthood. I mean, I know what the priest did in the Old Temple, but I didn't really relate it too much to this priest because I didn't know much about it and didn't study it or anything else, but I ran across this, and I says, wow. I've talked to so many people. I says, haven't you gone up to the third heaven and sat beside Jesus? No. He's given us a legal right to go into the third heavens. And the Lord says, I want to do something today different. I said, okay. So he wants me to help you right now going to third heaven. So I want you to close your eyes. First thing you do is you repent of all sins. Get your heart right with the Lord. Anger, frustration. It's just like, if there's anything in your heart, there's one thing, I haven't seen this for a long time, but the Lord's telling me to do this. I want you to take and see if there's anything black in your heart. Just ask God to show you, is there anything black, or tell you if there's anything in your heart that needs to be changed. Hurts, pains, a lot of things going on. As soon as you see that, I want you to put your hands up and cup them in front of you. Put your hands up and cup them in front of you. If there's anything in your heart, any hurts and pains, things that people have wronged you. That's what I'm hearing. People have wronged you. And you haven't got over it yet. It's still bugging you. There's other things that can be going on. Take those and let God pull them out of your heart and put them in your hand. Right now, just let that black, mucky, rotten stuff that's been in your heart, just pull it out. This is a spiritual thing. God is doing it. He wants us to do this. He loves you. He cares about you. He wants it all gone. You don't need it. It's not for his children. The devil put it there. I want to take it out, saith the Father. Because I'm listening to the Holy Spirit. I'm sitting beside God right now. Listen to what he wants. Keep your hands together and just put all that stuff in the middle of it. Now, you don't have to move, but see yourself in the Spirit walking towards. There's three crosses, or the cross. There's a cross in front of you. Just walk to it. Just take a little time and walk towards it. See, this is your authority to take it and get rid of it. But you first had to allow God to pull it out of you. Now you have to walk towards the cross. Now, if you get to the cross, you don't have to do it now. Just in the Spirit, kneel down by the cross. Put your hands at the bottom of the cross. Freedom. Lord, freedom tonight. Freedom's coming. Freedom's coming today. Just take your hands and open it up and just shake all that stuff off. Leave it at the cross. Now back up. Just back up and stand there. Now the blood of Jesus is coming down the cross. The blood of Jesus. Oh, I've waited so long to get rid of some of that junk out of your heart. Oh, I love you so much, saith the Father. And that's just going to start to come over that black junk that was in your heart, and it's going to start to dissolve it into nothing and totally disappear. All that stuff's going to be gone. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to think about it. If the devil tells you something about it, he said, it's already been washed by the blood, and it's out of my life, and I'm not going to accept it again. There it is. It's starting to wash. It's starting to wash. I'm just listening to what the Lord's saying. There's a couple ones. They're so tough. They don't want to go. In your heart, say in the name of Jesus. Don't have to put it out because I don't want anybody to know who you are. Just say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. I nullify everything that came out of me, and it has no legal rights to me. There it is. It's starting to dissolve. It's starting to dissolve. It's starting to dissolve. Ooh, glory. That's, oh, yeah, freedom. Freedom, 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 freedom. Freedom is coming. Freedom is coming. There it is. There it is. It's just washed, washed, washed. Totally destroyed. Oh, totally destroyed. Now, with your eyes closed, I want you to start to see. See yourself starting to go up into the heavenlies. And you just continue to go through the clouds and up through there, and you get to the place where there's this big courtroom. Big room, throne room. As you just walk in. And you come up and you see God the Father, which is big fire. Because that's all you can see. You can't see his face or you die. But it's fire. But you feel the love. You feel the peace. You feel the joy. You don't have to walk in backwards like I used to. Because you are a priest and you have been given the legal rights to do it. Go in there. And then we're just going to say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. We praise you. We worship you. We adore you. We give you authority. Now, I'm telling you right now, the Lord just said to tell you, I got down on my face one time, and he immediately told me, get up. You are my child. You are not to lay on your face in my presence. I said, oh, yes, I got back up. I used to come in and kneel down on my one knee, and that wasn't so bad, but I don't even do that anymore. I just walk in because I am his son. I am his child. And he wants to see me. He wants to talk to me. And I look to the left and I see Jesus. And I says, Jesus, I praise you. I worship you. I adore you. You say what you want to. But just encourage and say something in your heart and your mind. Just say, Lord, I praise you and worship you and adore you. And I give you glory and I thank you for all that you've done. You are my Lord and Savior, and I'm so pleased. And as soon as you do that, there's angels pulling all kinds of thrones up here. And Jesus is pointing to the throne. Now go sit on the throne. Sit on the throne. Play that first song, Seated in Heaven. That's what the Lord wants to do. He wants to just speak to you. He wants to talk to you. If you have a question, ask him. It's all spiritual. It's in your mind. You're just going to hear and feel. It's in your heart. Feel the warmth. Feel the glory. You might see Jesus' face and the eyes and the love that comes out of him. There might be different things that you can see in the spirit, because this is in the spiritual realm. This is not mind control. This is spiritual things. We are seated with him in heavenly place. Let's go ahead and play that. Sorry, it took you. Yeah, I caught you off guard there. I didn't know what I was doing anyway.
Gonna pull down some secrets from heaven. Time to discover our position tonight. To discover our position, move into higher expectations. Lord, we come expecting great and mighty things. No limitations, no limitations. Oh, we're stepping out of the box into higher expectations for great and mighty things. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength.
No boundaries, no borders, no boundaries, no borders.
I can do all things because the joy of the Lord is my strength. You get it tonight? I'm a child of the King, an heir to the throne, a crown is there. You see, you're never alone.
Above all powers, above all.
free. We're going to play this last one. This is our last song. Father, when we get through, Father, I just thank you for each and every one. We ask that you allow these words to settle in their hearts. And Father, we ask that you just bless them, bless them, bless them. Keep them safe and healthy and whole and until we meet next time in the name of Jesus after the song's over. Praise the Lord.
I want somebody to shout this word with me. Shout freedom!